Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am joined with my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And in this episode, we want to talk about something pretty different that I don't think we have ever talked about. And that is an implantable insulin pump. And so what do we mean by that? Well, we mean it's implanted, right? So all of our current insulin pumps are sub-Q. They go on the body. They're typically replaced every 2 to 3 days, sometimes 7 days, right? But this is an implanted insulin pump. And why we're talking about this is the company called Portal Diabetes. They recently gained FDA breakthrough status for their Portal pump. Now, a little bit of background on this pump, or actually, before I even get into that, Natalie, do you just want to brief listeners on what does breakthrough status even mean?
Right. So breakthrough status is going to allow the company to get into phase one trials more quickly than not having that breakthrough status. And it's given to new and companies or drugs even, right, that are new to the market that would change the way we can deliver care. So because this is a brand new idea, and actually, right, we could go back and say it's not really a brand new idea. So years and years ago, when I was working in Baltimore, we were doing MiniMed implantable before MiniMed was bought by Medtronic, before all these things, they were using implantable pumps. And they are actually implantable pumps by MiniMed are actually even available in Europe still to this day. So it's not brand new, but it is not something that you get, like we're not using them in the United States right now. So it is not brand new idea, but it's a brand new product. And there's some real advantages to an implantable pump, right? So, you know, it's the glucose is going to go down right away because it's going to feed into the blood system ultimately, right? It's going to feed into and work much more quickly. When you give a bolus with an insulin pump, you can, you know, we encourage pre-bolusing for a lot of our pumps 10, 15, 20 minutes before someone even starts to eat. You won't have to do any of that, right? And hopefully the idea of this whole thing is that the pump can be so responsive that you wouldn't have to bolus at all, that it would just react to the rise in glucose or the elevated glucose versus thinking ahead, is this 25 grams? Is this a small meal? Is this a large meal? That it would just say, it's going up, you need more. Because once insulin's into the blood, there's only a 2.5 minute, you know, it's in and out like that. So pretty exciting.
Yeah, and exactly. So this would actually be inserted through a surgical procedure in the abdomen. And then there's a catheter that takes the insulin into the peritoneal fluid, and then it goes right into the bloodstream. So totally to your point, Natalie, they're really, you don't need to pre-bolus. It's working much more like true physiologic insulin in a person without diabetes. And also it's wearing off much faster. So thinking of the implications, not just for food and bolusing, but also for exercise, that it would really make exercise much safer and likely less planning in terms of, you know, needing to take in extra carbs and everything. What is different, I think, about this compared to MiniMed's version, which, by the way, the people that used that apparently loved it. Right. Like, loved it. And my understanding is there's actually a few people in France that are still using this and don't want to give it up. But supposedly it's been like, it was very expensive. I think I've heard the number thrown around like $40,000 for that system. So I think ultimately because of just the sub-Q insulin was kind of easier because you don't need surgery to get it. And that market blew up, probably more cost effective. This implantable kind of got forgotten until now, where we have a company that's pursuing this. And they're not, the other unique thing is that they're pursuing the fully closed loop. So their plan is to work with CGMs and automate this. So really the terminology artificial pancreas, which we hear thrown around with existing systems and really is a misnomer because there's nothing, they're not like a pancreas, right? There's still a lot of work the person with diabetes has to do. But here, it really would reduce that burden because the person ideally would not need to bolus. The system would totally take care of everything through the algorithm. So that part, I think, is really quite exciting.
Amazing, right? Amazing. Yes. And the older Medtronic, or MiniMed, sorry, system, they had the person had to announce meals, had to, right? This is very different from that and really exciting. Right. This is the first real idea of reducing the burden. I mean, you know, people who use insulin pumps will tell you, oh, it's not set it and forget it at this point. It's really not. Right. If you are starting to think about, OK, well, wait a minute, what happens when the pump runs out of insulin? Well, for the MiniMed version, what there was there was a semi-permeable permeable membrane like there is at the top of an insulin vial. Right. Or at the top of an insulin pen where they would inject the insulin and refill the pump. So you don't have to take it out when it runs out. You just refill it through a procedure. You numb the skin. You find the top where that semi-permeable membrane is, and you inject the insulin back into it to refill it. So a lot to learn, though. I mean, this is just a very brand new, very tip of the iceberg. This new company, this, you know, portal is the first company in years and years to do this. How it will work, what this will look like, how big will it be? Will it use U200, U400? What kind of insulin are we going to put in it? All of those are unanswered questions at this point, obviously, but really exciting and just a breath of fresh air.
Right, that it's something new and innovative. I love that you have like the actual experience with the previous pump. That is amazing. Some of the things that they've said so far are that they do plan like this device would be smaller than the previous one. So hopefully, you know, be maybe easier to insert when hopefully stick out of the abdomen. I guess previous versions had this whole controller thing. This would, you know, ideally would end up working with smartphones, so there wouldn't need to be a separate type of controller. And just as you said, with the insulin, so they're working on their own proprietary temperature stable insulin. They have said that they would use concentrated insulin, which makes sense because, I mean, the thing can only hold so much. You wouldn't want to have to refill it every week, or, you know, you try to get as much time as possible between fills. My understanding is aiming for like 6 to 12 weeks because it is that in-office procedure, like you mentioned, of like numbing the skin and like, you know, having to come in
for that rapid acting because it's getting absorbed right into the bloodstream, right? So we already have U500 regular insulin, and that's what that would be ultimately ideal, right? So then how does it deliver it in small enough increments for someone? So there's a little bit of technicality there. So if you give someone U500 insulin and one unit really equals 5 units, right? One volume unit is really 5 units of insulin. It just has to deliver in micro dosing in order to do that so that someone can get small enough doses, right? But ultimately what you would want is some sort of concentrate so that you're right, so someone doesn't run out, right? So that you're not filling every 2 weeks. You don't want to go back to get a procedure every 2 weeks to fill a device like this. The older pump was larger than a hockey puck, right? So, I mean, it was, you could, for most of the people that were wearing them, you could see it, right? You could see the bulge. We'll have to see. There's so much excitement, but also so much, all right, what about this? What about the concentration of insulin? Right. How low can the dose be? It'll be interesting. And I'm super excited to follow this.
Right. I mean, yeah, who knows? I mean, if they're making their own insulin, they could do U1000. I mean, we'll just have to see. They do have, I mean, there's definitely a lot of hurdles ahead. So they're going to start with phase 1 studies. You know, they're going to have to complete all the studies to show that this is going to be safe. It's not going to lead to infection. Other issues, not going to leak insulin, right? It's got to be a pretty stable pump. And then ultimately for this really to make it in market, it's also going to need to be somewhat cost effective too. If it could be an amazing device, but if it is, let's say it is $40,000 and a traditional pump is much less, then you get into, well, our payer is going to pay for it and stuff. So anyway, I'm really excited to follow this. I'm excited that they're taking, you know, their they're bold and they're moving forward with this. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
And as we say, at the end of a lot of conversations with you and I, more to come, right?
Like, right, more to come.
Yep, more to come.
We'll follow this and get back to you. All right, cool. Well, one other quick topic we wanted to discuss is we now have the first pump that is officially working with Eversense CGM. So that is, you know, speaking of implantable things, right? That's the implantable CGM that can be, the sensor can be inserted for up to 1 year. There is an outer transmitter that's worn out on top of it on the upper arm. But now it does fully launched with the Twist insulin pump. And, you know, people are now able to get it. They had an early release, but now it is open for the masses. So, Natalie, what are your thoughts on this?
So I know two people who have already had sensors implanted and they're connected and they're up and running. And I'm just happy because, again, I'm thrilled that Sequel has decided to offer Eversense 365 as a choice, because ultimately there is no one pump and no one sensor for any person, for all the people, right? So it's really important to me as a human to know that there are options for everyone. And the people, you know, when we think about Eversense, think about the people that really struggle on that first day, every time they insert, every 15 days or 10 days or whatever their sensor is. You don't have that, right? You have warm up. You know, you have to do some calibrations with the Eversense 365 in the beginning, but then those go away and you're left with no more warm up, no more this, no more back and forth, right? So I think that's a big part of what people are attracted to. You can also take the outside, there is a transmitter that sits on the outside of the skin, but you can remove it. So if you want a break, if you just want to go and do something and you just want it off for a while, you can take it off, and that too, and someone can hold it back up, and get a number and then take it off again if they want to, right? So there's a lot of really nice features about it that I think that when it wasn't talking to a pump at all, and so until a couple of weeks now, it, you know, this is brand new, that it a lot of our patients said, well, I don't want that because it doesn't talk to my pump. Well, now it does, or at least talks to one pump. So it's opening up a huge market of opportunity for people to have another choice.
Yeah, I agree. We love choices, but also that not having to deal with day one sensor. And then just a lot of people with skin issues. This is a great, great option.
And accuracy, right? It's a great accuracy numbers. Their numbers are beautiful. So, you know, I think you're not, you know, there aren't pressure lows, for example. So we talk about this a lot, you know, oh, the placement of the sensor, if you're using the back of the arm, it really needs to be under the arm, not on the back of the arm, because of those pressure lows from interstitial fluid glucose sensors, and, you know, those 15 day or 10 day sensors, or even 7 day sensors, that doesn't happen with the Eversense. So people who just struggled with accuracy, this might be an option for them as well.
Yeah, I think great option. And the calibrations, there are still finger stick calibrations, but it's down to once a week. So it's pretty minimal. I think most people can swing that. So we love to see more options. I'm excited to see, will other pump companies follow? Will they also start to collaborate with Eversense? Will we start to see more people using Eversense? I would imagine we would, now that there's a pump partner with that. As always, right? More to come. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So with that, we wrap up this episode. We thank you for tuning in to Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.
Thanks, everyone.